So welcome back to the next installment of the Rav Kook opera. So we're discussing one of the major themes of Rav Kook's thought, which is the general ascent of the world. That Hashem created the world at point X. The purpose of the world, the purpose of creation, was that the world can get better and better and better, until ultimately reaches the level of reunification with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we saw last week that for this reason, Rav Kook saw a great value in learning history, Jewish history in particular, and he spent a lot of time analyzing different trends in Jewish history to be able to figure out where exactly he and his generation stood in the process, so that they can know, so that he could be able to know and guide his generation where to go forward. So we discussed Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, the various themes of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and how Bayis Shlishi is going to be a synthesis of those two. So that's looking from the beginning of history up to the point where you are in the 1900s. Today, we're going to focus on pieces in Rav Kook where he does the opposite. He starts with the end of history and tells you, in order to know where you're going, in order to know what your tafkid is for your generation, you don't only have to know where you're coming from and what the trends were up until this point to be able to define what's necessary for your generation, but you have to know what the end game is. And only by knowing what the end game is, by thinking about the end game, are you going to properly understand where you are in the process. So one place where he just says this explicitly is his first piece, Shmona Kvatzim Aleph. It's from his younger years. He says as follows: Hatzipia ruchanit mleahi biyurut hazikaron haklali. So the spiritual vision. So it's filled with the clarity of general remembrance of remembering things of the past. What are we remembering? Zikaron gudla shal ha'uma. Remembering the greatness of the nation. Mechol malei hoda ba'avar. All the amazing things that we had in the past. The Beis Hamikdash, Nevi'im, Am Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. You have to know the history. Think about the great times of the past to, if you want to have a spiritual vision. Uchmokein, Himufa'at, Mishichlo HaTikva Be'atid. And also, at the Tzipia Ruchanit, looking at things from a spiritual perspective, it also appears through the refinement of the great future, of the hope of the future. Ve'ilu Shtei HaHofa'ot, Mishachalot et nefesh kula. These two appearances, these two phenomena, they refine the soul in its entirety. Umizeh ba hachiba gedola the mitzvos etzlios ba'aretz uvemikdash techo hagashos etzlios ba'am. And in this piece, Rav Kook says one ramification of thinking about these two ideas, the past and the future, and thinking about them in the present, is a great chiba for Eretz Yisrael, Mitzvot Atzilus Ba'aretz, and the Beis HaMikdash. These are all the things that we had in the past, which we're going to get in the future. But here, Rav Kook is very clear. In order to have a proper Tzipiyah Ruchanis, a spiritual vision, a spiritual outlook, you have to not only know the past and where you're coming from and the different trends of the past, but also the future. And there's something which struck me when I first went to Eretz Yisrael as a post high school student. Just the almost obsession of the Dati Lumi community, of the Rabbanim, of the yeshivas I was in, with the word Geula. Like, almost every Dvar Torah included the word Geula here or there, somewhere along the way. And it wasn't just the last line, that Emirat Hashem, which is Zoko, the Geula Shlema. It was like a theme. People discussed Parsha Shmos, let's talk about the Geula from Mitzrayim, and the future Geula. Parsha Bereishis, talk about the creation of the world, and the Geula. It's like people talk about the word Geula a lot. And, I mean, partially, it's because of Rav Kook, took the theme of Tzipia the Yeshua, and he made it into a central focus of Avodas Hashem, partially because he felt it was happening, and a large part of it is for this reason. Because in order to know where you're going, in order to know what your tafkid is in your generation, you have to be focused on the Geula. You have to be focused on the end game. You have to know, we're trying to get there. We came from X, we're trying to get to Y, we're somewhere in the middle. How do we best use what we have in the past and where we're going to be able to move forward and get there? So we're just going to see a couple of pieces about this theme of Tzipia the Yeshua and the vision of the future affecting the present, and then this will be the last thing we're doing about this notion about the ascent of the world. Then we'll go on to some of the other themes in Rav Kook of Melocha Aretz Kevodo, the nature of the neshama, and things of that sort. But
I guess that's kind of funny then. It makes sense why Yaakov Moshe wrote Mimane Yeshua.
Yeah.
It's completely
focusing on what the Geula is going to be like. So here's also a piece. If you ask your average person, the Gemara says you have to be Mitzapa the Yeshua. So why? Why is it important to be Mitzapa the Yeshua? plus it shows your heart's in the right place. You know, you could give all sorts of answers. Rav Kook, in this one-liner, says as follows. Says, Tzipil Yeshua, he mizakakas es achayim. It purifies life. Again, it purifies life in the present. Marchabes es adas, it expands, broadens one's knowledge, ma'adanes es ruach, and it refines one's spirit. Again, if you want to properly work on your avodas Hashem in the present, you have to know history of the past, analyze it properly with a spiritual outlook, and also know where we're going. Next two pieces, he really just says it out very, 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 very explicitly. We're going to focus on this piece and on the next piece, the main parts of the Kobura. So again, Rav Kook, Shemona Kvatzim, Zayin Samaches, no introduction, he just goes straight in. Apparently, one day Rav Kook was wondering about what the purpose of society is, of social life. Here's where he goes. Kishanu Nishalim, when we ask ourselves, Al Chayim HaKavrutiyim, on the society, social life, people living in groups, Mahim Gamatam, what is the goal, what's the purpose? Ein Lanu Tshuva Me'otam HaKayim Atzmam, we don't find an answer from the actual life of the society. And if you want to know what the purpose of American society is, you can't only look at American society. Study trends in American society, know what's going on, know what the government is like, know what the history is. Looking at the society itself, but the reality of the world, is not going to tell you what the purpose is. Ki im zukukim anu, what do we need to be able to understand what the general purpose is? Ki im zukukim anu levo, we have to come with an aspiration to a greater world, a more exalted world, than the actual current reality. And what is this world, these ideas that are beyond the reality of our current society, where do they appear to us? Not in front of our physical eyes, in the sense that we could look around America, we could see this is the purpose of America, but b'olam hadas, in your mind's eyes. You have to be able to think about things in a more exalted way. And all the expanses of the spiritual worlds. Rav Kook here is advocating an approach where basically, if you want to define the purpose of society, the purpose of the world, you can't just look at the reality of the world. Just for the sake of contrast, again, we're not putting anything down or belittling anybody or anything, but just for the sake of contrast, it's sharpening the point. If you take Rav Soloveitchik's approach to Jewish philosophy, so people have written about this. He has different aspects of his thought, but a lot of it is not running away from the world. If something is evil, treat it as evil. If you're feeling sad because of somebody passed away, somebody's sick, there's horrible things happening in the world, that is a human emotion on the regular human plane. That is what Hashem wants you to feel. You have to take that, be mekadesh it, channel it, but you should be approaching the world from a regular human perspective. Human experiences become very important. Rav Kook, at least in this piece, is coming from the opposite perspective. You look at the world, you look at society, you look at everything that's going on. If you want to know the purpose of it, you want to understand where everything is going and how to get there, you can't just look at the world as it is with regular human experiences. You have to look at something beyond, at the end game, which you can only imagine, and then help the world get to that end game. Let's go on two lines. Uvezek kvar anu ba'im bahaskama. And with this, we come with a clear consensus. We agree. She'i efshar klau. Shatia kol ha'shi'ifa ha'noshit shikua rak ba'osam ha'chayim ha'chavrutayim ha'vadam. You can't say the full aspirations of humanity exist in our regular social plane. V'lo'o, not only that, el ha'shadavar mukraku, it's clear, it's necessary. She'im yachdilu ha'chayim ha'chavrutayim minikas lishdam, if regular social life stop sucking, they stop getting their nourishment from the moistness, again, from these higher ideals and ideas, from these upper ideals which are beyond regular life, regular reality, and regular social life, going back to chayim ha'chavrutiyim, they make their own existence to be the ultimate goal. We live in America. American society exists for just, let's say, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness and consumerism and things of that sort. Then, yifchas me'od ha'erach ha'chiyuni shalem atzmam, then their actual value is going to decrease. And you're going to see all the deficiencies of society. Until everything is going to be lowered in its evaluation. Again, Rav Kook is saying very clearly, if you only look at things with human eyes, then things are going to become diminished, they're going to become less important in your eyes. Just think of society as it is today. The world is going crazy. Meaning there's a lot of materialism, consumerism, there's sicknesses, there's people messing up with how to manage Ebola, there's radical Islam in the East. Society has a lot of crises in it and a lot of problems in it. If you just look at things as a regular human plane, then you're going to become very depressed, and the value of human life and human society is going to be diminished. Rather, what should you do? Even before I get there, we're going to see in the future, Rav Kook also is mekadesh to regular human perspective, and that's going to be very important for him. But for him, it's always going to be two things which ultimately have to come together. The regular human perspective with the higher level, the tzipia ruchanit, as he puts it over here, the spiritual perspective. He warns the mekubalim, don't skip to the spiritual perspective. Understand what's happening in the regular human plane first. Because he says regular common sense is a very kaddish thing, and regular natural human feelings are very kaddish things also. But you have to look at things from two planes at the same time. So what does he say in this piece? What do we have to do? What do we need to fix the world? You need tzipia the Yeshua. You have to think about what is the world going to be in the future times, and all these high and mighty ideals are actually... And who are the people who do this? The hope of Yisrael is the light of Mashiach. The light of Hashem in his world. Thinking about the Yeshua, studying those passages in Nach that describe the ultimate reality, Garz Avim Kesev, and the Gemaras that describe the reality of Akras Yamim, it's not just a nice thing to do to inspire you. It's Pesisal Sha'olam. It's the entire basis of the world, the foundation of the world. So the world was created in order to get there. Shekol Matzavav, Gam Sha'olam HaChavruti, Im Kol Ta'uvusav, the social world with all of its subsidiaries. U'mukhrakadavar, it's clear, it's necessary. Shanashim Sofim Yimtzu, that these people who have vision will be found. Shekol Mayanam Yashakua B'Usan Magamot Ha'yonot, they are going to focus on these higher goals, these higher ideals. Their vision will constantly get higher. It will shower on the actual visions of real society. That take up such a large quantity of our life. We focus on society. We focus on things that are happening in society. Quantitatively, yes, we have to understand the human perspective. But you always have to add in that thing coming down from the top.
Add it in, or...
I mean, he's going to say you always require both.
Right.
He warns them in the Mekubalim that you can't just understand things from a completely spiritual perspective, because it's part of the Melokha Aretz Kavodo, his idea.
Right.
Melokha Aretz Kavodo for him means that the natural world, including social movements and human life, is itself inherently kadosh, inherently divine. But on its own, it could look like it's something which is very, very built to Erech, as he says over here. So you need the spiritual perspective to know where those things are going, to know the true foundation of societal life in this piece, to be able to help it get there and understand the true value of everything that exists in this world. So Otoha Ruach HaMechaya Tachayim HaKaprutiyim, that spirit that gives life to social life, Sarech Shia B'Atzmo L'Kuach Ma'atzilus HaRuach Ayon Shal Chayim HaYonem, it has to be taken from the Atzilus of the higher levels, it has to be taken from the kadosh life, the kadosh life of Shemayim. Chaya Chokma. I assume Chokma here is also refers to a technical term, the highest sphere, Chokma bin Adas. Again, you have to take from the highest places, Chaya Eden Kadosh Anoam Hashem, and infuse your view of society with those things. That's where we're going. Umemela, what's the result going to be? Again, not a diminishment of society. You might think if you focus on Kabbalah, so then you're not going to care about what happens in this world. What's that going to inspire you to do? To create a reality in this world that mirrors, that's parallel to these great ideals which you're thinking about. To bring down those ideals down into this world. So you see, Rav Kook requires you to function on two levels at the same time. But the chiddush of the Devarav is that I guess there are two chidushim. Number one is you have to focus on the future to properly understand what's going on now, both in terms of history and in terms of your own avodas Hashem. And that perspective of focusing on the future is not going to diminish the value of this world, it's going to raise the value of this world, because it really shows you the true basis of why everything exists. And it's going to show you how this world could really become an ideal place, where there's peace, there's harmony, there's avodas Hashem, there's spirit, and there's spirituality.
So as you mentioned before, like, if let's say he were living now with all those things that you mentioned, so he would look at it as not paying attention to the things that are going around, but trying to understand what the Geula will be, and therefore taking thought about, or just trying to understand how that would manifest itself, what it means.
So I think maybe I should give an example from Cook's own lifetime, in the sense that he always wants you to understand things under a normal, let's say, geopolitical scheme. So let's say there's a movement of Zionist movement starts, people want to move back to Eretz Israel. Classic example. Great. So Rav Kook was very well aware that the nationalist movement of Jews, Zionism, was part of a broader context of nationalism throughout Europe in the 1800s. And he contextualized it within that and everything of that sort. He properly understood it within that context. And he also wasn't unaware of the deficiencies of the Zionist movement. People focusing only on Am Yisrael and only on Eretz Israel are going to throw away Judaism, throw away traditional Judaism and whatnot. And he critiqued what was necessary to critique. But because he was looking at things from the higher perspective, he saw how this, not just Jewish movement of nationalism, but all the movements of nationalism were part of this divine plan to get Am Yisrael back to Eretz Israel, to get all the nations back to their proper setting, what they were supposed to do, to help the world advance. So on the one hand, you understand things in their own context, and you critique what you have to critique, but at the same time, you're seeing things on a second plane, as heading towards that ultimate Geula. And because he had a vision of what the ultimate Geula was able to work backwards and see how nationalism fit into that. So here he's talking about very broad things in terms of Chayim HaChavrutiyim.
Have you read Kitzurandu?
I've not read Kitzurandu.
It's basically the first chunk of the Sefer. He just deals with that. Meaning the general thing, what's taking place in the world and what the world's up to at this point, and how all it really makes sense in context, how, because it's getting to that bigger point, as you just said. I mean, it's a parish of Rav Kook's, I guess, views and a lot of other sarm and whatnot on that, but it's exactly what he deals with.
Exactly, that's great. So we're there. I was planning on taking a look at some point, and I hopefully in your Tashem I'll have some time to do so. But I think it's the chiddush of holding the string from both ends is something which Rav Kook was able to do and constantly tried to do. There's no stira between understanding things in a regular common sense way and putting value in it, and also knowing what the Geula is going to be and saying it's important to focus on those two things. But you see why, in terms of tendencies of thought, if you're focusing on the Geula, you're not going to care about what's happening now, you're going to run away from this world. Focusing on this world, you're not going to have these spiritual visions about where the world has to get to. You're going to be too stuck in the grind. So Rav Kook was able to pull the string from both ends, and ultimately, as he says over here, Rishkina Batachtonim, to try to combine the two. And we're going to see almost every single, this is not my point, Avinor Mozik makes this point, he's a professor in Jewish philosophy in Hebrew, almost every major issue in Jewish philosophy, there used to be two extremes. Rav Kook has pieces which emphasize both, and he has pieces where the resolution takes place also. Because you have to be kol ha-kol in order to advance the world. Bayis Shlishi is a synthesis of everything that they came before. And it was conscious also, it wasn't unconscious. He was consciously doing this. One more piece about a similar theme. This is an Orot Yisrael T'kiyosel Perakaf. Rav Kook says, any separation, any division in one's heart from these long rays, from the higher ideals, either in a personal life or in a communal life, it's going to shake up the foundation of happiness and goodness in its entirety. Again, you always have to be thinking about the broader ideals, or the higher ideals. Even in a small way, Keshachalba ruach ha'elyon, when this higher spirit rests on you, hamu'ugad idealiot hamushara ba'ushar b'logvul, that's connected with these ideals, the happy ideals that are they're happy without boundaries. What is that? What effect does that have? Hariyeshba mayon chayim olichom etgaber. You have a living spring that gets stronger. Mechayadoros. It gives life to generations. Maasher tikufos. It makes periods of time happy. Umiasher derek lamim rabim. The key lines. It gives a path to many nations. Madrich ulamim. Again, these high ideals, you think these are capitalistic ideals that have nothing to do with regular life, these things are what are going to be lead nations. These are the things that are going to lead, again, individuals and the tzibur to the perfect life, to the perfect world. Again, and this is all sort of an introduction to what Rav Kook felt was necessary in his time period, which he says, which I think we saw this in the first class, in the first Kabura, which is teaching the foundations of Kabbalah in a way that are going to be relevant and, I guess, listenable to the people in his generation. And not just the foundations of Kabbalah, Jewish history, of Tanakh, of all these broader things that were almost forgotten. In order to be able to do this properly, you're going to have to understand all those things. And that's what we're going to see over the course of the next couple of weeks, what things he chose to emphasize for his generation and for us to help us get to this ultimate point. Urosh al-Mashiach, the light of Mashiach, ho'osher ha'olyon b'chaya chavra b'chla, again, this ultimate level of happiness, b'rumo ha'omok sh'osher prati, from the tops to the depth of personal and private happiness, Mikhubarhu Ma'usher Vatsala Mukhlata Shakal Yesh Bitchyas Amazim. Again, Orosh al-Mashiach, the light of Mashiach, is connected both with personal happiness and the happiness of the world that's going to take place in Tchyas Amazim. Lugoda Ha'atid Hazah Mukhrakas Ko'ayin Litzapot. What do we have to do in order to attach ourselves to these higher ideals? Learn about Yemos HaMashiach. Think about Yemos HaMashiach. We have to look forward towards it. This idealistic type of vision is going to give color to our life. Givun. It's going to give higher color to our lives. A beautiful line. It sets the stamp of the present with the destiny of those lives, of those lights. Nitika koldehi merishis harom, any type of separation from the beginning of these heights, meachrit ha'edan ha'meula, meaning from the beginning or from the pleasant end, meaning from the beginning of history or the end of history, nifilahi le'im keishachas, it's going to cause you to fall to the depths. U'si'irim kamim, again, he's paraphrasing a pasuk in Hazinu, the devils, the demons, are going to come up, u'mesachakim, and play, but Makom is the Mirat Sari Kodesh, Menoam Siak Son Amoni Mala, in the place of the song of the Malachim. Ha'emuna ha'elyona, this belief, this hope in Bimos the Mashiach, Hi Pa'atzma, Hamenaheges Asachayim, it itself is going to lead and guide life, El Mormim Shishri Hashama, to the heights where it actually is. Hi Pa'atzma, Vekativuta ha'elyona, in its supernal unitness, whatever that word means, and where did this manifest itself the most? It manifests itself in broad thinkers, in utopian thinkers, in romantic thinkers, people who think about improving the world. But it manifests itself the most clearly in Yadus, in Bemunas Yisrael. What does Yadus say? We're going to see this when we deal with Oros Yisrael. One of the foundational points of Yadus for Rav Kook is taking these broader ideals, always remembering what the broader ideals are, and living life in a pratyistic way based on those broader ideals. Losa shifa mu'ushara. These things which never stopped pumping in the hearts of the Kadosh people. And from these people, it's the dripping of the song is going to come, and it's going to intensify life. It's going to intensify over the entirety of life. Rav Kook has a long discussion about how these broader ideals are supposed to take place in practical life. He says, as opposed to some non-Jewish religions, where you have broader ideals, but there's no practical way of manifesting them. Again, think about the Kalam and Pratim from last week. And here's how he ends up this piece. When these things become closer, when you rethink we're initiating the process of Geula, when the reality of the Emes Mashiach is getting closer, but it's still shrouded in darkness, that's the time period when it needs constant protection. We shouldn't lose that spark. We shouldn't lose that vision. The light of Mashiach is set in with faith. You have to believe the Emes Mashiach are coming. And this emuna is manifests itself in yadas, in the light of Yisrael and in the obligations of Yisrael. It's based. And he says we're gonna have to get back there. And I think this is a very important line for our time period, because I mean this is a more of a personal reflection. But if you read. If you read the things that were written like Rav Kook's time period, you read Rav Kook, you read Rav Tzvi Yehuda, you read people from like the late 60s before the Yom Kippur War, you get this real sense of like, you know, we're actually like Rav Kook describes, we're part of a process. The process is constantly accelerating, constantly going forward. We're going to march towards the Geula. And then as we got closer, it seems like things have stagnated for the past, you know, I don't know how many years, but now Israel exists. It exists in a way which Rav Kook probably couldn't imagine in his own lifetime. But there's just so many problems, and it seems like everything is just the process is just stagnating, and things are staying the same, if not regressing. So this is the time period Rav Kook is talking about when things get closer, but they stop at a certain point. Ba'feilah yishriya. That's time when you have to intensify your vision of the future, not to only have the birds chirping in your ears and ignore regular reality, but always remember why you're in the process that you're in, the value of that process, and where you're ultimately headed to guide the process there. I think it's a very important lesson for our generation. The last piece, I don't know if it adds so much in terms of the content, but it's just a very beautiful piece.
It's more like Yishakov, Yishav Shava. I mean, like, obviously it's a little different in that case, but like, Yaakov, you want to sit there and Kadrach says, no, rule.
You have to go on. We have to move. Yeah. I guess it seemed like people thought like they were going to coast into the Geula. And then, unfortunately, it hasn't happened in the last 30, 40 years. I don't want to say Hashem is playing games with us, but it's like everybody who predicts an easy process towards Geula, ultimately, like, something stops in the middle, and the process continues again. It's like it's Yasmin's triumph almost. And then the things started, they stop, and then they start again, they stop, and they start again. But this idea of thinking about the ideal way of living, and again, which Rav Kook is going to describe, and we're going to see in the coming weeks what the content of that thing is. But it's just a very, very beautiful piece. It says, "Achalamot ha'gedolim yisod ha'olam heim." The great dreams are the foundation of the world. Hamadrigos shanosein. There are different levels of these dreams. Chomim heim anaviim. The Nevi'im were dreaming. Achalom adaver bo. I speak with the Nevi'im in a dream. Chomim heim hamishorim b'hakitz. They're poets. Dream while they're awake. The people with great thoughts are dreaming for the perfection of the world, the utopian thinkers. We're all dreaming as Hashem returns the captives of Zion. The coarseness of a social life, of society nowadays, when they're sunk in, when they're submerged only in the material side, Nutalas is orach halom in ha'olam. Society as it functions nowadays removes the light of dreams from the world. Et zohar ha'kabashalo, the brightness of its shining. Es aliyoto ha'aliyona me'hamitziot ha'koderet. The dreams are removed from this world. You look at things the way they are. Things function in a very material plane. There are crises. Things are bad. Things are crazy. Things aren't functioning properly. You forget. It makes you forget the dreams of your youth. Ad shaolam mefarper b'machovim, until the world croaks from its pain. Mitok akitziyuta harasiyot shalmetziyot. from this the poisonous stinging of actual reality, chasrat zohar chalom, when that reality is missing the brightness of a dream. Rak hamachovim hem yisurei ava. These pains that people get fed up with reality as it is, without that dream of redemption, those pains are yisurei ava. Hem yimarku es olam. They're going to cleanse the world. Yivaru lo. It'll clarify for the world. Kama gdolahi atosh al misparim b'mitziyot halakuya. The great mistake of those people who glorify themselves in a fallen reality. Ba'is, when in a time when it's actually true, shirak hacholam hakafshi, only a free dream, hamored b'mitziyos ugvuleha, that rebels against reality and its boundaries, hu be'emes ha'emes yoser ha'biyotit shalom mitziyot. That is the ultimate true reality. The az, shav chazon hacholam v'yalam hakaseh bor. Then, the vision and the dream is going to return. It's going to become a clear vision. Again, psukim about the return of Nevuah. And Rav Kook says this process of thinking about the ultimate Geula is connected with the return of Ruach HaKodesh, the return of the Kalim, the return of experiential spirituality, as we discussed last week, was who are the people describe what the ultimate reality is going to be like? It was the Nevi'im. They are the ones who describe not just the general kalim of Yados, but the time period when those kalim are going to be the part and parcel and the part of the fabric of our society. So you see, this notion of bringing it back by his Rishon, which we discussed last week, for Rav Kook, part of that is thinking about the kalim of Yados. Part of the kalam of Yadus are the where we're going, the ultimate reality, having that affect the way you live life nowadays in an individual way and also in a communal way. And Miras Hashem, next week, we'll start talking about what some of those kalam are for Rav Kook that are supposed to, we're not supposed to live our lives fully by them yet, but they're supposed to be percolating in the back of our minds as we get closer and closer to that ultimate reality. Shkanach.